Time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff. With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
And we finally have arrived at week 18, the last regular season week of the NFL season. It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Great to have you guys aboard. Booms, hope the holidays were good. How are you?
Yeah, they were great. Happy New Year, Mike. And I know you're looking forward to April. I think you thought you were going to get the number one pick with the Giants, but... You know, like there's a thing called pride in the NFL and there's called pride amongst athletes. And everybody wants to put stuff out there that's good on tape. And your man Drew Lock came through for you.
Drew Lock can go to hell.
As the Colts laid down, man, I could not believe their performance last week. It was really disappointing. They had everything to play for and then completely blew a flat tire against the Giants. But hey, look, you know, this draft, I'm telling you, I've been telling you this, I don't think any one of these quarterbacks in this draft are worth a top 10 pick. Now, they're going to probably be two taken in the top 10. I just say that, you know, they're not difference makers in the way that we think of guys like Jaden Daniels from last year or Caleb Williams or even Drake May for that matter.
All right, so you know what, here. My disappointment recap is going to be brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to your local T-Mobile store. Get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Now, hang on. We're going to unpack what you're doing. A birdie made me aware of a Boomer opinion, and I went, there's no way. The man is too smart. There's no way he would say this. That you are, quote, glad or happy the Giants no longer have the number one pick, because now all of a sudden – both the QBs, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, are bums off the street. And just explain this idea that not being able to take a QB is somehow a good thing.
All right, So first you put words in my mouth. I never said they were bums off the street. I don't think either one of them
are
ready to play right now, especially if they are keeping Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. You're going to be like 1-7 next year, and you're going to have a rookie quarterback. It's going to be a mess, and they're going to fire the coach if they decide to keep the coach. So the coach wants to win now. Neither one of these quarterbacks are ready. Neither one of these quarterbacks are. I don't think Shedeur is all that explosive. He's not his dad. The one thing I will say about Shedeur, much like Patrick Mahomes, I think he believes he belongs, and I think he'll be successful eventually. I just don't think he's going to be a successful quarterback for the New York Giants. That's all I think.
And can you help me understand keeping Shane and Daboll?
Well, I can't.
I don't know that you're reporting it, but I mean, are you telling me that's actually on the table here?
I can't tell you one way or the other. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. The only thing I can say is that the last 2 weeks, the people who cover the team on a daily basis have started writing more about Joe Shane's plan as opposed to Brian Daboll's coaching. Is I feel like they have separated the two. And when I sense that, I sense that Shane is staying and Daboll is going. Because eventually they know they're going to end up having to fire the coach next year.
All right, so isolate that. What the hell has Joe Shane done that would make you believe he deserved, not you, but I'm saying, what has this guy done that I should care?
You shouldn't care, and I'm not saying that you should. I'm just telling you what I'm trying to read the tea leaves here in New York.
Yeah, I know.
And normally the tea leaves tell you a lot around here, and you can get a sense of what a team is trying to do. And to me, it sounds like Joe Shane has, for whatever reason, whether you like it or I like it or fans like it, has nuzzled up to John Mara, and I think John Mara likes him. And I think John Mara wants some sort of stability in one part of the franchise, and maybe he feels like this is the best way to do that because he knows next year they're not going to be very good, and there's a chance that in the middle of the season the fan base is going to go crazy screaming about firing the coach.
This is why you're a laughingstock as a franchise, right here. And honestly, this is what my father always told me the 70s was, when basically Pete Rozelle had to roll in and tell Wellington, here's the deal. Hire the dude with the big ears. He's going to fix this. That guy would be George Young. I just can't take anymore. I mean, when I hear things like this, again, I'm not blaming Boomer people, but when I hear things like, oh, he's cozied up to John Mara, that's how bad franchises run. That's for years here in Detroit when William Clay Ford ran the Lions. Oh, Russ Thomas's best friend was kept. It was like Barnacle City. You couldn't scrape these people from the bottom of a boat. I can't handle it.
All right, so
serious people.
All right, let me ask you this, and I want to tell me how serious you were about what you said last week. You said, clean house, get rid of everybody, and I want them to hire Joe Douglas. Were you serious about that?
I would do that. Sure. I think Joe Douglas is a really good GM and a really good football guy, and I think there'd be a spite store angle. Little Latte Larry if you're a Curb fan. I just think Joe Douglas got a raw deal. I would. I'd be good with it.
Do you have anybody else in mind that you would suggest?
Well, I just don't think you're going to, from a coaching standpoint,
From a
GM standpoint, no. I don't, because here's the problem. We always have the same names every year, Boomer. It'll be the assistant to Eric DaCosta, or it'll be the assistant, you know, back in the day for the whiz kid with the Chiefs that everybody wanted, and he stunk. The point is...
Dorsey.
Thank you. No. It was the assistant, the young kid. Oh, God. The point I'm making is, if you know this guy's not drafting well, and his free agent moves that don't go well. I mean, hell, look, they tried to rebuild the offensive line. The offensive line still stinks. They draft a center. No disrespect, but John Michael Schmitz stinks. Oh, we get the number 5 and number 7 pick. Tibbs is okay when healthy. Evan Neal stinks. He rolls around on the floor like a puppy. Like, Boomer, I just don't know what this guy's... Okay, fine, you let Saquon go. I don't hate you. What did you do with the money? This team sucks. He drafts a bunch of 4-foot receivers, 4-foot corners. What are we doing?
Well, Deontay Banks is a little bit taller than 4 feet, I can tell you.
No,
that.
I'm talking the camera, Cordell Flotts of world and the Wandells.
I don't want to get stuck on giant talk, but I will say
I know.
There's going to be like 6 or 7 teams that are sitting right now as we are talking about the Giants in the same kind of situation. What are we doing? Where are we going? Who's going to be the leader of the franchise? So the Giants have a huge decision to make, and there are so many variables that go into that decision. My sense would be to clean house, get everybody out of here, and start over, because I think the fan base would buy into that. If you keep the guys here that are in place right now, next year, in the middle of the season, they have a tough schedule next year. They're not going to be much better, no matter who their quarterback is. And guess what? They're going to want the coach, and they're going to want the GM fired next year.
Well, plus, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. What coach with real options is going to sign on to a sinking ship? The Giants are basically running like the Bears, where you keep Eberflus around, even though you should have fired him. And then what happened? You did fire him. What? Like, Ben Johnson is not signing on to come here. Right? Like, you're not going to get guys that have real options to come here and go, well, wait, Joe Shane's on thin ice. Why am I taking? Like, none of it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's the problem that the Giants are in. But there are other teams in that same situation. So,
all right.
I can't talk you off the ledge. I'm just trying to give you a sense of reading the tea leaves. That's all.
I know. I'll just have my memories of, 11, 12 years ago this week, the Giants were in a winner-take-all at MetLife against the Cowboys. Victor Cruz, 74 yards up the sideline. I sound like Edith Bunker. Those were the days.
Those were the days, yes.
All right, let's do the power rank. So I wanted to have some fun with you. It's the week before the playoffs, and I wanted to get your sense of the top 10 teams in the league. And you start at 10, move your way to 1. I've given you a loose ranking on our prep materials.
Yes.
Disregard it. Do whatever you like. I just wanted to give you a sense where I was at. So, number 10, as we head into the playoffs, and it doesn't have to be a team that'll make it, Boomer. If you think somebody's going to get left out and they're actually better than teams getting in, you got free reign. Who's number 10?
For me, I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. They may beat the Cincinnati Bengals this week. They're going to be going on the road. For me, I believe they're going to be going on the road for the playoffs. They're going to be playing Houston. They should win that game, but I think that's where it ends. But okay. I'm going to say number 10 is Pittsburgh.
9.
I would probably say the Denver Broncos are number 9. Rookie quarterback, I think that they're going to beat the Chiefs this week. I think they will make the playoffs as well. I think it's been a nice surprise for Sean Payton of what he's gotten out of Bo Nix. But for me, I would say that the Denver Broncos are number 9.
Yeah, but I tell you, they blew that game 7 ways to Sunday last week against the Bengals. I know we don't have time for it. I'd love to talk Zach Taylor's malpractice, but we'll leave it alone.
Both him and Raheem Morris.
Oh, my God. Some of these coaches, man. Number 8.
Number 8, I'm going to go. I'm just trying to think here.
I like that you're leaving the Texans out, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of the Texans.
They stink.
I talked about C.J. Stroud after Tank Dell got hurt against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think he checked out. Maybe he'll get checked back in this week, but I don't really love where they are right now. I'm going to say the Washington Commanders.
Yes. Listen, here's the thing. You saw it late in that game. A rookie quarterback carried him. I mean, that final drive, they're just like, listen, we're going to run you into the ground. Not bright overall, but like, we have to win this game. This is on you. And he did it. I mean, Jaden Daniels, I don't know if a year from now we'll have the conversation, did the Bears take the wrong guy? I don't think that's fair to Caleb. I think Caleb's had a better year than people give him credit for amidst chaos. But holy hell, is Jaden Daniels good.
But I'll tell you what, Raheem Morris helped them out. They probably should have lost that game. And Michael Penix was bringing his team back to win the game.
That's where
they don't know how people don't know how to
insane.
Right. It was, but people don't know how to use their timeouts in the NFL, which is amazing to me.
Let's go to number seven.
I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers.
Boy, am I disappointed with them. Go ahead.
What do you mean go ahead? They're 11-5, for God's sake, and they play the toughest division in football.
Hold on, Kimo Sabe, hold on. 0-2 against the Lions, 0-2 against Minnesota, lost to the Eagles. So basically, you're like one of these soft college teams. You had two real games, you lost them both. Congrats, you're James Franklin. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but think about those games that they lost. I mean, they were in these games. They were tight, these games. I'm just saying that they're a good team. And by the way, whoever they run into the playoffs, I'll tell you, it's not going to be easy beating them. That's all I'm going to say. They will give a fight.
Fair.
They got a great coach. I love their coach. That's a guy who understands how to manage games, by the way.
Number six.
Oof. This is where it gets a little bit interesting. I'm going to go to the Chargers.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. And the reason I do that is because of their quarterback, because of their defense, because they do run the ball, and because I love Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh is a terrific football coach. They're a year away, I think, from being really, really good, but I think that they can play and beat anybody they play against.
All right, so hold on. Just for the record now, here's what's available for you as we go to the top five. Ravens, Eagles, Bills, Lions, Chiefs, Rams, Vikings. You're going to have some choice cuts left out of here. Go ahead, number five.
All right, so I'm going to go with the Ravens.
At five?
Yeah, at five,
wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeez. Go ahead.
Normally Lamar,
I'm the one who slanders Lamar.
Well,
this
to,
is
me,
exciting.
To me, though, Lamar may be the most pressurized players as we end up going into the playoffs because he's probably going to win another MVP. We may have co-MVPs this year, by the way. That could happen, but I think
it's possible.
I think he's going to win the MVP. I think he's going to have a big game against Cleveland. His MVP numbers are going to be off the charts. They're going to be historical. No matter what anybody else says about any other quarterback that's having a great year, these numbers are off the charts, and he's going to lead his team to the AFC North title, and he's going to have the number three seed. Number four, I'm going to say the Bills.
Okay.
The Bills are number four. Number three is going to be, for me, the Eagles. Number two is going to be the Vikings. And number one is going to be the Chiefs. And the reason I don't have the Lions in there right now, and I should say 1A.
Oh, my.
I would say 1A is the Lions. 1 and 1A. So I got 11. 1 and 1A. The Lions and the Chiefs are 1 and 1A.
Okay, so let's talk about – all right, so let's do this. Your faith in the Vikings – look, I know you're a Darnold guy, and I understand. He's been good. But, like, for instance, when you close your eyes and imagine Sunday Night Football, Lions-Vikings, and that's going to be the Sim spotlight later, you really think Sam Darnold's rolling in there and winning that game?
I have the – well, I'm picking the Lions to win the game, but I'm picking Minnesota to cover. And I do think that they're going to be aggressive. There's playmakers all over the field for both of these teams. And I do think that the Vikings have a better defense at the moment than the Lions.
I'm fascinated. Look, the Rams need to be on this list, but I'll leave it alone. They should be somewhere around seven to me. But if we stick with 1 and 1A, here's the fascinating part. The Lions and Chiefs are both wonderfully flawed, meaning the Chiefs' offense stinks and the Lions' defense through injury stinks. But the other side of the ball is so good, they're still at the top of your power.
Just remember this. The Chiefs got their wide receivers back. They've played their best football here late in the season. Patrick Mahomes wins the fourth quarter. Steve Spagnuolo is the best defensive coordinator in football. They have a top defense, and they have Andy Reid as a head coach. They are the number one team in the NFL. Yes, without question.
Now here's the thing. Look, I think this ranking, too, it's fun to do it before the game because Lions-Vikings, winner, you're getting the bye week, you're the one seed, it's one less game, it's two home games. The loser, it's historical and it's unfair, but the loser of this game will be a 14-win wild card who will have to go on the road and do what only five teams in history have done. Three straight games on the road to go to a Super Bowl. 85 Pats, 05 Steelers, the 07 Giants, rest in peace, the 2010 Packers, and the 2020 Bucks, the COVID year Bucks. So it there's truly a lot on.
And I will say, I will say this, even though I did leave the Rams off that list of the top 10, they're going to have to go into LA and play the Rams. That's either, I guess, or the Bucks. So I guess I think most likely they'll go play the Bucks. So to me, the Vikings over the Bucks or the Lions over the Bucks, I can see that in week one of the wild card.
So we're going to do expanded preview of Lions-Vikings. It's the game of the year in the NFL, and it's incredible. It'll be the Sim Spotlight. We're going to spend a ton of time on that. And then here's what we're going to do for the picks coming up next. Yeah, we'll talk every game. You're only selecting five that are actual on-the-record selections because these games, a lot of them, are nonsense. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, welcome back. So here are the ground rules. You get to week 18. A lot of these teams are going to be resting starters. A lot of game time decisions. You got a lot of players, candidly, making business decisions. This is not a week you should be betting games. But for fun, we're going to make some picks, but it won't be picking every game. We'll talk every game. You will select five games, plus the Scones pick of the week, which was changed right before showtime. I'm telling you, Brian is walking into an L. But let's get to the picks.
Picks of the week.
And we start out the newly minted Scones pick of the week, Boomer. He changed this right as we were taking the air. Ravens are laying 20.5.
Wow.
As they host the Cleveland Browns. Now, Scones pick of the week, you rushed to make this selection. Go ahead.
Well, I did want to take the Dolphins, but I don't know what Tua's status is as far as playing on Sunday. So I wanted to take the Dolphins over the Jets. That's why I pulled an audible quick, and I want to take the Browns plus the 20.5 against the Ravens. Divisional matchup. Zappy's getting the start. He has experience. Ravens have the 3 seed locked up. Give me the Browns plus the 20.5.
Wait, boom. All right, so I'm not touching this game. I'm staying away from it. That's too many points one way or the other. But I do think Lamar Jackson does have something to prove this week. He wants to win his third MVP. He's going to go over 4,000 yards. He's going to go over 40 touchdown passes. He only has 4 interceptions, and he's going to be over 800 yards rushing. That is historical numbers, guys. So the Ravens are going to win, but I'm not betting the game.
Same. It would be the Ravens because ultimately they're going to line up and smash. And I don't know, the Browns want to stand in there. But there is no scenario I'd actually pick this game.
41-21 the final. 41-21. There you go.
Oh, perfect. Just covering by the hook. Perfect. Bengals laying 1.5 at Pittsburgh. I will pick this game. But
I'm going to pick this game as well. And we have AFC North action as we listen to Mike Tomlin talk to his team in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. This has not been an easy place for Joe Burrow to play. You know, the last time these two teams played together, you thought that the Steelers finally came alive offensively. That's because the Bengals defense is not very good. I am going to take the Cincinnati Bengals here. I think these two teams would naturally split during the season. Bengals are playing for a lot. So is Pittsburgh, by the way. But I will lay the 1.5, and I will take the Cincinnati Bengals.
I got to go team on a 3-game losing streak at home. It's Tomlin as a home dog. Give me the Steelers. Bills laying 2.5 at New England. No idea.
No, I have no idea either.
New England laid down and died last week.
Exactly. And I don't know necessarily whether they're going to play Josh Allen or not. I think maybe they might put him out there for a little bit just to get some statistics and get a little play in here. But I'm staying away from this game.
Same. Can't do it. Titans, Texans. Why?
Nope.
Titans laying 1.5 hosting the Texans.
You know, and we were talking about C.J. Stroud in the previous segment. I really do worry about him. I wonder where his head is at. I hope he actually gets it straight and is ready to rock and roll for the playoffs. He's been a real disappointment here as the season has moved on, and certainly that injury to Tank Dell emotionally affected him, and hopefully he can get his emotions in check and be the quarterback and be the leader that they expect him to be. But I'm not picking this one either.
And I'm going to do this for old time's sake. Scones, mark me down, and let's see if I can go like 1-5 selecting the Titans. Give me the Titans here.
Wow.
I know. It makes no sense. No one's touching them, yet they're favored. And the way Boomer's talking about C.J. Stroud makes me want to cry. So I'm going to go with the Titans. Colts laying 5 as they host the Jags.
You know, if I were Chris Ballard, I'd be worried about my job because the Colts have looked this way like for the last 3 years. At the end of the season, they have wilted no matter who the coach is, whether it was my friend Frank Reich or Shane Steichen. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is, whether it was Carson Wentz, whether it was Matt Ryan or now Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco. I just don't know what to expect from them. I don't want to pick this game either. I'm staying away from it. But if I had to pick it, I think that the Jaguars would win this one.
Yeah, I'm staying away from it as well. We've had some fun with the Jags here and selected them, and they've helped us. But now I'm getting off the train. And with the Colts, I have no idea what the hell last week was. But thanks for nothing, guys. Commanders laying 6. They travel to Dallas.
Yeah, well, this game really doesn't mean anything. I do think the Commanders will win the game, but I'm not picking this one either. Cowboys, last week, very, very disappointing performance. They got hammered, and it looked like everybody's making a business decision. And by the way, Ezekiel Elliott unceremoniously let go by the Cowboys to see if he could hook on with some playoff team. I don't know who would pick him up, but all I can tell you is that things are going the wrong way in Dallas.
Maybe Canada. That's always an option. I want to double check the notes here. Washington, they still have to have this game, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, they've got to beat Dallas or have the Pack lose to the Bears to secure the 6.
Right.
Give me the Commanders. Yeah. If Dallas is going to lay down and die, yeah, give me the Commanders. I can't help
That's it. A good bet. I would say that would be the bet of the week, by the way. I'm just not picking it because I just don't know
it's
what the
It's a rookie laying 6 right. on the road. I respect that.
Okay.
All right, now I know what you're doing here because this is your boy. Atlanta laying 8 hosting the Panthers.
100% taking Atlanta. Right here. And I love the way that Michael Penix has played these last two games. I really do. And if he had a coach who actually knew how to use timeouts and understood game time decisions, maybe he'd be 2-0. But I'm going to take the Falcons here, and I'm going to lay the points.
Is Bryce Young going to be the QB in Carolina next year? You think he's done enough?
You and I both think that. I think they'll give him a third year. I do.
Me too. Dave Canales, let's give him some credit. The body language is good. He seems to be building a relationship there, and he's gotten something out of him. I mean, there were points last year, Bryce Young, it looked hopeless, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't have a lot of talent. So, yeah, you probably roll with it. But then again, David Tepper might wake up in a bad mood and launch him out of a cannon. Bucks laying 13.5. I'm not picking the Panther game, by the way. Bucks laying 13.5 against the Saints.
I got to say, Tampa Bay here, they need it. They want it. They want to win the division. They got everything in the world to play for. Our boy Baker Mayfield actually could get them to the third seed. If they win and the Rams, who are arresting their starters in week 18, lose, then the Buccaneers will have the third seed in the NFC, which is amazing.
It's an incredible story, honestly. And again, I know you and I are biased. We love Baker. But I root for guys like that. And never forget, Cleveland threw him in the garbage when he sacrificed his body for that franchise. Guy played with a torn labrum, and they threw him in the trash. I love the fact he bounced, he went to L.A., then he was stuck in Carolina for a year. He finally got into a great place with an organization that believed in him. And yeah, Dave Canales helped him last year, and now this year, I mean, it's his team, it's his franchise. It's awesome. Packers laying 10 as they host the Bears.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this, but if I were going to bet it, I would bet the Pack. The Pack will probably... I would think they're probably a little disgusted. Maybe they only play a half. Who knows? But for me, I mean, I'm staying away from it, but I would take the Packers.
Yeah, and Green Bay really can't jump Washington.
No.
If Washington wins, they're kind of stuck. I'd lean to the Bears if you forced me to do this, but yeah, no, we're only doing 5. I've already got 3 picks. I have 2 coming up. I'm good. Eagles laying 3 to the Giants.
Oh, you know this what? Is radioactive.
Yeah, why? No. Why don't you finish messing up your future? Do that for me, please.
You know what? You should pick the Giants here.
I'm going to, because they hate everyone. They hate their fans. They hate everything.
I'm staying away from it. It's radioactive for me. I don't need to talk about it on Monday morning. I'll tell you what, if the Giants win here and they drop further in the draft, it's going to be like, it is going to be like bedlam around here.
It should be.
Yes.
Good God, just play Tim Boyle, lay down and die. Chargers laying 4.5. They travel to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this one as well. I think the Raiders actually may win this one, depending on what Jim Harbaugh decides to do with his team. I don't, to me, he seems like a guy that is going to basically back off a little bit and maybe see if he can get a guy's a couple breathers and doesn't want to lose anybody here before they go to the playoffs. But again, another game I am not picking.
No, and they're just stuck, and yeah, I'm out on it. There's nothing to do there. The next game I am going to pick, though, Seattle laying 6.5, traveling to the Rams.
100% taking Seattle.
Yep, 100%. I mean, the Rams are resting. It's a bye week for them. They have no interest, no need. Just give me Seattle. Hey, let me ask you a Seattle question,
yeah,
too, real quick, and I know it's a side note. Any shot, they're one of these teams that calls Minnesota up about J.J. McCarthy?
Yes. 100%.
Doesn't that feel like a fit right there?
And remember, you know, McDonald was a defense coordinator at Michigan, so I'm sure he's very aware of who J.J. McCarthy is.
And if you're the Vikings, you don't have a 2, a 3, a 5. Do you try to recoup some capital? You roll with your man Sam, and you just get out of the McCarthy business?
I don't understand why you wouldn't do that. I also thought if you needed a head coach and a quarterback and you weren't the Jets— If you needed a head coach and a quarterback and you weren't the Jets, why not bring in Brian Flores and Sam Darnold and make Josh McCown the offensive coordinator?
Wow. But if you're Sam, don't you want to stay with O'Connell?
Well, I would want to stay there as long as they traded away J.J. McCarthy. Because, you know, I'm a young man. I'm not like a 32-year-old quarterback. I'm a 28-year-old quarterback. So wherever I go, I want to be like Baker Mayfield is to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to be their guy.
God, I don't like the kid a whole lot. He only threw like 15 passes a game, but he's got ability. I don't know.
But maybe also know this, my buddy Gio here in New York, huge Vikings fan, does not think that the Vikings will keep Sam Darnold. It will be too expensive because they're spending so much money on Justin Jefferson and on that offense that they would rather have a young quarterback on a rookie contract, and they do believe in J.J. McCarthy. So
get ready. We're going to go to NFL shop. We're getting Boomer a Sam Darnold Titans jersey next year.
You might as well add a Michael Penix, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, exactly. Boomer's going to be on rotation. Dolphins laying 1. They travel to MetLife.
I'm taking the Jets, man. I think
that's right.
I think
so
that,
gross.
Listen, I think Tyler Huntley's going to be playing for the Dolphins. So my man Aaron Rodgers is going to want to get his 500th touchdown pass, and he's going to want to leave with a win. So I'm going to go with the Jets this week over the Dolphins.
I am with you. And here's the other question I have for you. And I'm being serious.
Okay.
As messed up as the Jets were, don't you feel like Aaron Rodgers came here and made it worse? That he like poisoned someone who's already dying?
Well, I tried to explain this earlier in the season. Like, he sucked the life out of the franchise. That everybody bowed to him. I don't necessarily know that he did that on purpose. I just think people react differently to a guy like him. He doesn't have the personality of a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady to take over a franchise and do it the right way. He just comes in. He's got cameras following him. He's on McAfee. He's everywhere. He's a Uber celebrity. And I think everybody in that entire organization bowed to his every whim. And unfortunately, the moment that his Achilles snapped a year ago, it basically ended right there.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, is when you look at it, the last year of Favre with the Jets, the last year of Rodgers with the Jets, the numbers are basically the same. Both guys cratered. It's like they went to Woody Johnson's bank account to die. Cards laying 4, hosting the Niners.
Yeah, I'll stay away from this one, but I would take the Cards because I think the Cards will beat the Niners without Brock Purdy.
What's that Purdy contract going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be north of $50 million a year. I think 4 years, $225 million, somewhere around there.
So who do you think's the collateral damage? Because they can't keep the roster together.
I know, that's the problem. That's the problem that the Vikings
are. Who do you think is not a Niner next year, then?
It's going to be interesting. I would think that John Lynch is going to be making trades. There's going to be some trades off of that offense. Maybe Debo Samuel's a casualty.
There it is. That's the one, because I'll be honest with you, and I know you can't read too much into it, but A, Pearsall's look good, especially considering how he missed the start of the year. Yeah, didn't have getting shot on the bingo board. The other thing is, for Debo, Boomer, I hate to say it, but his best ball is behind him. They've used him up.
Well, I would also say that there will be teams that would love to have a Debo Samuel on their team, and I would think if, in fact, that does happen to him, you got to take into account cap ramifications, things of that nature. But I would also think that he would be highly motivated to get back to where he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, not going to pick the game. Would pick Cardinals if you forced me. All right, last game of the week. Broncos lay in 10 as they host the Chiefs, who aren't going to play anybody.
You know, I know. Well, they're going to play somebody. They could probably sit six or seven guys, and they'll sit most of their key guys. But I think for Carson Wentz, this is an addition to try to make it happen. It's a lot of points on the road between these two teams, no matter who's playing. I'm going to take Kansas City and the 10.5 points.
Oh, boy. All right, you're going to loop me in because you're right. It's not much of a sales pitch because you're right. I mean, Wentz needs to put some good tape out. The Chiefs are proud. It's still a rookie laying 10. All right. I can't believe I'm doing this. Give me the Chiefs.
Oh, I'm sorry, God. I do this to you, man.
No. You're okay because you're right, and okay. I can't fight it. I'll go with the Chiefs.
Did you hear that, Scones? He's right, and he can't fight it.
That's right. All right, let's get to the Sims Spotlight, where we're going to talk about the game of the year in the NFL. It's Lions. It's Vikings. It's winner take all on Sunday night. We'll talk to Phil Sims next. It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, and no hyperbole. It's the Sims Spotlight. We're talking about the game of the year in the NFL, and we were talking off the air, one of the biggest regular season games in recent memory. Lions-Vikings, we welcome Phil Sims, brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Phil, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? Man, let's go. I want to get to Sunday night so I can watch this damn game. That's what's going on.
Yeah, I actually think it's the biggest game in NFL history, regular season NFL history, because we've never had two 14-win teams where one of these teams, the losing team, will be the 5 seed, will be the wild card, and most likely, I believe, will have to travel to go play the Rams. So as we look at this game, I'm going to take it from the Viking standpoint first, Phil. This is what I want to ask you about. Last week, we were talking about Sam Darnold, and if he could go on a run, a historic run, beat the Packers last week, beat the Lions this week, get the number one seed in the NFC, have home field advantage for the Vikings, this guy is sitting on a mountain of cash. And last week, he delivered against the Packers, and this week, they're going to be playing against a hamstrung Detroit defense. And are you aggressive if you are Kevin O'Connell, or do you try to run the ball and try to eat up some clock here?
Well, those are good points. I think Sam Darnold will come through and play well in this game against this Detroit defense. That's my first thought. You know, I looked at the injury reserve, 18 players for the Detroit Lions, 16 of them are defensive players. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of guys over there that if they were playing, I wouldn't even think twice. I would go, Detroit's going to win the game. They're the better team. But that's not what we're dealing with. But Sam Darnold, man, his footwork, getting rid of the football, the power in the arm, the accuracy. You know, he learned a lot out in San Francisco. Anybody thinks he didn't learn stuff out in San Francisco that helped him be a quarterback? Now he has Kevin O'Connell. They're crazy. But it does seem unfair to have a 14-win team that will have to go be the 5th seed. So that does bother me a little bit. But we haven't had two great teams like this go off in a long time.
So I want to go to the other side of it, and this is the benefit of having two quarterbacks on the show. So Jared Goff has demolished Brian Flores, and he's killing teams who blitz him. I mean, he's top three in the league with Lamar and Josh Allen. Every metric that I don't want to upset Phil with, Jared Goff is fantastic against the blitz. So here's my question. If you're Brian Flores, what the hell do you do to counter it when mugging the line of scrimmage is your brand? It's what you do, and this guy seems to always have the answers.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's 68% of his dropbacks versus the Vikings in the last two seasons, he's been blitzed on, and he's been sacked only once. So, listen, you got to learn from previous history. To me, what I want these teams to do is I want them to go 10, 12, 13 play drives. I do not want them moving down the field in 4 or 5 plays and have one huge over-the-top play. So I got to be really careful about playing man coverage against either one of these teams. And those numbers are, I mean, they are gaudy when you think about it. He's 3-0, Mike, as you said. He has completed 77% of his passes against the Vikings. He's thrown for almost 900 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. And that's in the last two seasons with Brian Flores as defensive coordinator. So, Phil, I'm thinking if you are Brian Flores going into Detroit, why can't you just sit back, play an umbrella defense, and just don't give up those huge plays?
You know, good points. I will say that. but I'm going to speak as I'm Brian Flores right now. There's no way we're going to sit back and play zone. They built this team on what they're doing. I did a little study on them, just watched two games, and I stopped after two and a half quarters in both. Over 25 blitzes. And it does disrupt Detroit. I will say this, too, Boomer, to counter your point a little bit. If you play zone against either one of these quarterbacks, it won't take 10 plays to get into the end zone. They'll get down there and, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8. Both quarterbacks, both systems, both coordinators, they destroy zone coverage. And, you know, as I look at Minnesota, two things. One, they went out and got Jonathan Kennard and Andrew Van Ginkle. This is what a great general manager does. They are really the key to that defense. They're the edge rushers. They do a lot of stuff. And if you were playing, Boomer, and you were going against this defense, you know how you have a blitz period in your practice? That damn blitz period has to be at least an hour because it's just unbelievable what they do.
Yeah.
And I know they get beat sometimes, but I don't think there's any other way to play Detroit. I think their offense, you have to be aggressive against it. And, you know, I expect Minnesota's offense. Hey, Aaron Glenn, beat up defense. Hey, you know, he acts like he has all pros over there everywhere. They mug receivers. They're very handsy. He's not afraid to blitz. They play a lot of man-to-man in situations where you go, damn, they're missing all these guys, but they're still acting like they have them. And that's who they are. So it's going to be really interesting to see which one wins out.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, is when you look at it, guys. I mean, 7 opening day starters just aren't available for the Lions on defense. They're just out of bodies. Wow. And you're going to have Terrion Arnold, who's a rookie. And, Phil, you nailed it. He's handsy. He's very physical. He's had a little bit of a struggle adjusting to the NFL. They're not going to let you get away with what you got away with at Bama. But that's your CB1. And whether it's Jefferson or Addison. But I think the thing that's interesting is if you watch the San Francisco game last week, any play action that San Francisco was running, the Lions, who are featuring all backup linebackers, not named Jack Campbell right now, are just getting devastated on play action. And Kittle was wide open. Well, who's back for the Vikings and playing well? TJ Hawkinson. What do they do well? Play action. I don't know that the Lions can stop them. I just don't.
Well, just know this, that they've given up 32.5 points per game in December, and that's tied for last in the NFL. They're 3-1 December despite giving up that amount of points. And that's why I do think this is going to be a really high-scoring game. And I think in talking to Greg Giannotti, my partner on WFAN during the week, who's a huge Vikings fan, he is like, you know, I want Kevin O'Connell to be aggressive. I want him throwing the ball down the field. I want him going after these DBs. I want to try to outscore the Detroit Lions, you know, to the tune of 34-33, as opposed to trying to eat clock up and keeping their offense off the field, because I have a powerful offense myself. And the numbers tell me, just like the numbers tell me Jared Goff versus the Blitz, that the Detroit Lion defense has been decimated and they are giving up huge plays. So I would think aggressive in the eyes of Kevin O'Connell going against this defense. Right, Phil?
Without question. We don't even have to think about that and worry about it. They are going to go. And they have the same damn system every week. It's like we're going to try to punish the defense. And you're right, talking about, Michael, this defense of Detroit, it's decimated. What Minnesota does to get away from some of the things that, like I told you, Detroit blitzes and tries to set, you know, Aaron Glenn, he thinks he's still the corner out there doing it. But Minnesota, all the movement, the formations on the offensive side, they pick up blitzes very well. And, you know, as I said earlier, Sam Darnold, really good decisions. Both teams kind of have, to me, kind of the same offense. It's a lot of deep throws, sideline throws, double moves, deep crossers. You know, who in the hell runs 22-yard in cut? And I'll get the answer is both of these teams. So what does that tell you? They got pretty good offensive lines. It gives the quarterback extra time, and they have good running backs. They both have good wide receivers, good tight ends. But they get extra time to throw the ball in a little more space. But make no doubt about it, I think both of these quarterbacks, too, as I watch them, they both can play under pressure. Sam Darnold's as tough as hell. And Jared Goff, man, he's a good-looking dude. He looks great in that uniform. He's tough as hell, too, and he can really throw under pressure. And like I said, you know, too, they're going to push the button on the offensive side of Detroit because they know what they have and that they can't stop the other team probably as much as they would want to. So it's going to be interesting. The coaching, the players, like I said when I came on, I can't wait to see this damn game.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go over in this game. I don't even know what the over-under is in this game.
Ready?
I'm assuming it's like 52 or something.
Higher. It's the highest one I've seen all year, fellas. 57.
All right, 57. Okay, so if anyone can overcome this porous defense, it's the Lions' own offense. Get these numbers. These are unbelievable numbers, guys. Five games with 40 points and zero turnovers this season. That's the most in NFL history. 60 40-point games this season. That's tied most in NFL history. And they have – this is a crazy number. 70 points combined, points per game, scored and allowed in December. So that means that both of these teams have got to be going over 30 points in this game.
Yeah, and, you know, we have two really smart offensive coaches, not to take anything away from defensive at all, but they're so smart. And, you know, there's the Detroit Lions. They're getting blitzed. I think it was a game against Minnesota way back in week 7 or 8, somewhere in there. And they came up with different ways to pick up some blitzes. I went, wow, that is so clever. And when they did it, you know, Jared Goff just hammered it down the field for big game. But, you know, like I said, Minnesota comes out almost every single week, new blitzes, new pressures. And when they try to play any other thing besides that, I think they're very ordinary. I really do. So I don't think they have a choice. They're going to play their defense. Brian Flores is going to sit over there and call them out. And when you burn them, they don't care. They just keep coming back with it.
So, all right, we got to get picks in. Lions are laying 2.5. I'm going to take the Lions, and I think the separator is this, guys. It's their aggressiveness. No one goes for fourth down more. No one goes for fourth down at any spot more. Nobody runs more trick plays. The Lions are just all gas, no brakes. And Campbell knows, I have no defense. I don't have any bodies left.
Yeah.
I just think that's the separator. And I'm going to go with what Goff has done against Flores and just trust it. I'm going to take the Lions lane the 2.5.
You know, for me, guys, I think the Lions are going to win the game, but I think it's going to be like a 1 or 2 point game. I think it's going to be like 31 to 30. So I'm going to take the Vikings plus the 2.5 points. So it's going to be high scoring for sure. It's going to be pedal to the metal for both of these offenses. And I just think that Detroit's going to be tough to beat at home, but I think this is going to be an exciting game. And it's the biggest game in NFL regular season history when you think what's on the line here and how many games these two teams have won combined.
You know, I wish we had about 20 minutes just to talk about these teams and just talk about how good they are, how exciting they are to watch fans. They're great TV. I mean, so many good stories. Two quarterbacks basically thrown, you know, overboard. And look what they've done. And it's not luck. It's talent. Of course, the systems are making all these players on the field better than they probably are. In other words, they're giving them a chance to go from one level to another by coaching. And that's what coaching means to football teams in the NFL. I'm going to take the Minnesota offense. I mean, the Minnesota team. I think they'll get some turnovers maybe with the blitz. We'll see how it goes. And have a lot of faith in Kevin O'Connell. So I'll take Minnesota.
You know, the interesting thing is that the team that loses here is going to drop to the 5 seed and most likely is going to have to go visit the Rams because the Rams are resting everybody. They probably will lose to Arizona. I think Tampa Bay wins. Tampa Bay becomes the 3 seed. The Rams become the 4 seed. And the loser of this game becomes the 5 seed and has to go to SoFi and play Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Good luck with that one, huh, Mike?
Yeah, it truly is winner take all. So, look, Phil, appreciate it. We're all ready for Sunday night.
Well, let me say this. If there's any teams that real quick can go on the road and get this done, I believe these two teams are capable of doing that. It's going to be rough when you go on the road. But, damn, they've shown they can score everywhere. And they can play these tight, aggressive games. So, it's going to be fun to watch. But I'm taking Minnesota. We'll see if I'm finally right at something.
You're fine, everybody. Enjoy the game. As these guys have said it, probably the biggest regular season game we've ever seen. It's going to be a hell of a good time. This has been Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.